This is Thinking Out Loud on KBIA 91.3 FM. Thanks for listening. My name is Trevor Harris. Each week, my colleague Darren Helwidge and I explore those people and those places that make Mid-Missouri unique. This week, the focus is on upcoming classical music live performance. Later in the show, you'll hear my visit with a Columbia pianist whose artistry can be heard at this Friday's Odyssey Chamber Music Series season premiere. Peter Miyamoto talks about his craft, the composers who inspire him and challenge him, and he even dispenses some advice for those students of the classical repertoire. That's later on Thinking Out Loud. First this week, we look ahead to next month's performance of Giuseppe Verdi's Requiem Mass. The concert series event, and it will be an event, happens at Battle High School Auditorium on November the 20th. I was curious about what kind of skill and motivation it took to corral a 200-member strong vocal group, then combine that with up to 80 instrumentalists. To find out, I asked Paul Crabb. He's a director of choral activities at the University of Missouri School of Music, and in that role, he conducts a quartet of vocal soloists, the MU Choral Union, the University Singers, and University Philharmonic, performing a single vocal masterpiece together on one stage.
Choral Union is a town and gown. We sometimes refer to that as a student and community member group. In some schools, you might call it the oratory choir, because generally we do oratorios or work large choral orchestral works. So it's an important part of the music education for the school, but also an important part for the community to get a chance to experience and to rehearse and perform these great masterworks of the Western European canon.
The performers that Paul Crabb just mentioned include community members and University of Missouri students. At a recent rehearsal for Verdi's Requiem Mass, I asked one of the newest Choral Union members about her background and the experience of singing with 200 other vocalists.
I'm Paige Wakefield, and I am an MU student.
What do you study?
I'm a Bachelor of Arts in Music, and I'm studying voice and French horn.
Where'd you come from?
I am from Lebanon, Missouri.
What's the vocal scene like in Lebanon, Missouri? Were there people there who encouraged you toward a career in voice?
Definitely. I had an amazing voice teacher. Her name is Christy Elsie, and she studied at MU, and so she definitely pushed me towards here and towards a career in vocal music.
What is the process like of preparing such a huge piece?
The biggest part of it is trying to combine the huge technical range of ability that's required and the emotion that's needed for such a piece, because it's written like an opera, so like the range of dynamics is huge, and the different articulations that you have to have in such a large group are very technical, but you have to still be emotional because it's written about someone's death.
Here is a selection from Giuseppe Verdi's Requiem Mass. Paul Crabb conducts 200 vocalists and 80 instrumentalists in a November 20th University Concert Series performance at Battle High School. You're listening to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. That was a selection from Giuseppe Verdi's Requiem Mass. A performance of the choral masterwork is set for November 20th at Battle High School in Columbia. I asked the MU School of Music's Paul Crabb how he selects the pieces for the MU Choral Union's biannual Columbia performance.
Well, one of the main driving forces is the variety of styles. So I wouldn't pick everything that was written 19th century, for example. This last year, of course, we'd had a contemporary work written in 2014, or at least completed in 2014. So this year I wanted to do something that maybe was a little bit more traditional as a way to get variety in our repertoire. We've done another commission by my colleague, Dr. McKinney, but we've done Beethoven, for example. A year ago we did a Beethoven concert with a Fantasia and the Mass in C. We've done Mozart Requiem and Haydn Requiem, 18th century. And so we try to do a variety of repertoire. So that's the main driving force, try to get students as well as the community members to have experiences of different styles. We have people who have come in there who have perhaps not sung in a choral ensemble ever. And we have some people who have literally been singing in choral ensembles for 40 or 50 years. We have people who are as young as late high school. And we have people who are decades retired from whatever their profession was. Could be a lawyer, could be a faculty professor. We have people who are farmers. We have people who are lawyers. We have people who just about every walk of life you can imagine. So it's a rich, diverse population with lots of rich experience.
And they come together once a week for a period of about 3 months?
Yes. For example, this year in fall, we met the last Thursday in August. We meet each week and perform the Thursday prior to Thanksgiving. So that comes out to about 13 Thursdays, something like that. He was already a successful opera composer, and of course Verdi's known for his operas. He was a hero in Italy. He had been really successful with his operas and was revered all over the world. Of course, there was quite a bit of controversy between Germany and Italy. You know, they're both sort of vying for who has the pure art form, but he was had operas in Paris and all over Europe. And in the late 60s, he decided that...
1860s.
Yeah, 1860s, thank you. That after Rossini died, you know, Rossini was, of course, another successful opera composer from Italy. And Verdi said, what we should do is get a bunch of the successful Italian composers who would each write a movement to this mass, and we would then compile these movements from the various composers who would donate their time and donate their talents, and we would perform this mass in honor of Rossini. The Mass, Requiem Mass, of course, being the text that is the Latin, liturgical Latin Catholic Mass for the dead, that's part of the liturgical service. So he suggested this, he sort of picked the composers, and he had enough clout and power to say who would be capable, who would be honorable enough to do this. Well, he wrote a movement, and there was, they think, one other person who did, but the other composers never quite got around to finishing. And despite Verdi's prompting and his encouragement, it never really happened. And so in the early 1870s then, this author named Manzoni, a poet and an author, passed away. And Verdi decided that they should write a requiem to honor, Verdi thought Manzoni was one of the great writers of all time. Verdi wrote this mass in honor of Manzoni, and therefore sometimes it originally was called the Manzoni Requiem, but now everybody knows it as the Verdi Requiem Mass. And it was premiered in Milan, I believe, 1874. You don't have to know Latin, you don't have to know drama of the liturgy, but you could come and you could hear, if you like lyric melody, for example. There are melodies in there that are so dripping with Italian flavor, just beautiful melodies you may have never heard of before. You could walk out of the auditorium singing them. You have unbelievable drama. I mean, the Dies Irae is the day of wrath, and it's when the deceased is going to meet judgment. And it uses full orchestra. It has 8 trumpets. It has 4 horns. It has 4 bassoons. Huge bass drum in there. It's a famous solo. And there is so much drama going on. There is so much contrast between loud and soft and fast and slow. And you will recognize things that sound like the purest Italian opera you can imagine. I mean, some of the religious authorities at the time, and Verdi was not in great standing with the Vatican just down the street there, but some of the religious authorities were really upset because they said that it really was secular music. This is not sacred music, it's opera, and they should not try to disguise it as sacred music. So there was even a controversy that it was too dramatic, it was too boisterous to be sacred.
Obviously, you're always on stage. If you were a casual observer, if you were a patron of the arts and you were showing up for the Choral Union and the University Symphony playing together, where would you sit in the house?
Probably sit in the middle, halfway on orchestra level, if you can. We're actually, because of the Jesse renovation, we're going to be performing in the new Battle High School. And so that's a fairly intimate hall. I believe it's just over 700 seats, so it's about half the size of Jesse. But I would probably, in that hall, I'd probably sit orchestra level, probably two-thirds of the way back. So main floor, about two-thirds of the way back. One of the cool things about this, as I said, there are eight trumpets. There are four onstage trumpets and four offstage trumpets. So that's one of the things we'll decide when we get on stage is where are we putting the offstage trumpets. They represent the call of the last trumpet. So when the person hears those trumpets coming from somewhere, that means it's your time. And so I think it'd be kind of cool to be sitting in the main floor, and all of a sudden from behind you, you start to hear the trumpets, and it builds and builds and builds to this very full-throated and absolute thrilling full orchestra, full chorus with eight trumpets blaring. It's just great.
That was Dr. Paul Crabb, Director of Choral Activities at the University of Missouri. He'll be conducting the Choral Union and the University Philharmonic, throw in the University Singers, and the stage is set for Giuseppe Verdi's Requiem November 20th at Battle High School. Earlier in the program, we heard from Paige Wakefield, a University of Missouri undergraduate, singing in her first Choral Union performance. At a recent rehearsal for Verdi's Requiem Mass, I spoke with another vocalist who's singing with the MU Choral Union for the first time as well.
I am Ryan Layton. I am a freshman at Mizzou. I'm studying vocal music education.
How'd you find your way to the Choral Union?
It is an ensemble. Vocal music education encompasses choir, and I've had great choir experiences, and so I wanted to get the most and join as many ensembles as I could.
So who else do you sing with besides the Choral Union?
I sing with the Concert Chorale at Mizzou.
What's the process like of preparing for the Choral Union?
A lot of rehearsal, a lot of listening to the piece, a lot of sitting down at the piano and hearing your piece, a lot of trust that you'll get it eventually when you come across a hard part.
How do your fellow Choral Union members influence you, or how do they help you when you're standing cheek to jowl with 200 other people? Can you find your own voice in there, or do you end up just sounding like the people around you?
Luckily, at this point in the rehearsal process, we've kind of developed a section blend to where we sound good together. Near the beginning of it, when I made a mistake, everyone could hear it, and so goes that. But as rehearsals have gone by, we've really developed a better atmosphere as an ensemble, and singing together and understanding what we are singing together.
And you got to be passionate about it because you've given up every Thursday night for like 2.5 months.
Yes, indeed. And especially the dedication to this ensemble, I think, shows, especially with the music that we're performing, such an emotional piece.
But, I mean, there is something about the intergenerational that, you know, that I find it really interesting to have people from who are late teenagers until their mid-80s. You know, some people have been singing this for 35 years. And there are people who, you know, that you talked about classroom manager or classroom control. You think about, you know, 130 people, 140 people who make a commitment to give up their Thursdays for 30 weeks a year. You know, they're not getting paid anything. They're doing this because they really want to be a part of something like this. They want to study great works. They want to gather as a community. They want to have this kind of moment where you can really focus on your art, focus on the great work. It's a real privilege. I mean, you think about it. How many arts? I mean, like theater, you can do that, where you can experience it, you can study it, you can think about it, you can touch it, feel it, everything and be a part for just a brief moment, so you can be a part of, you know, the of real genius that has been created. And to have people who recognize that and who care enough and are passionate enough to give up their time because they know the satisfaction that we get. It's a pretty intensely human experience that is a valuable part of becoming human, I think. So.
Heard a selection from Giuseppe Verdi's Requiem Mass. You can experience it November 20th at Columbia's Battle High School when Paige, Ryan, and about 200 other MU students and community members take the stage with the University Philharmonic. My name is Trevor Harris, and on this week's Thinking Out Loud on KBIA, we look at some exceptional upcoming classical performance in Columbia. There's an abundance of classical performance coming out of the MU School of Music, and that's the common thread between this week's two segments on Thinking Out Loud. Up next is Peter Miyamoto. He's a Colombian who performs and teaches piano. The MU School of Music professor just placed in the running for the American Prize and Award for Excellence in Recordings of the Classical Repertoire. Miyamoto will perform this Friday on the Odyssey Chamber Music Series 11th season premiere at First Baptist Church at 7 p.m. I spoke with him on a recent visit he made to the KBIA studios. New CD of Brahms Piano Works, which was partly funded by a research board grant, is on Blue Griffin Recordings from Lansing, Michigan. Obviously, you won the American Prize based on your own chops, that you did a fine recording, you'd practiced, you'd honed your craft, and there it was. To some extent, there's a mix there that had to sound good. What's the backstory with Blue
Griffin
Recording?
Well, the backstory is that Sergei Kvitko, who is the, I guess, the owner of the recording label, started his own label about the time that I made my first CDs. As a matter of fact, I think I was about his third CD, and it was an all Chopin CD that I put out. We were at school together at Michigan State doing doctorates. He's a fine pianist. He has wonderful ears. And he just decided after graduating to go in a different direction. And since I was about his third CD project, I was something of a guinea pig, but happily so. And it was my first CD project, solo CD project, and it can be a very stressful process, and we both learned a lot in those days. I think we've gotten better and faster at putting out products, because this time I ended up doing two, basically at one time.
One of those two new CDs from MU School of Music faculty member and pianist Peter Miyamoto is called A Piano Recital. It's got music of Alban Berg, Beethoven, Maurice Ravel. Here's music of Johann Sebastian Bach, The Fantasy, to Bach's Chromatic Fantasy and Fugue in D minor. This is music of Peter Miyamoto. You're listening to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. Teachers You write in the Brahms liner notes about the influence of his teachers on him. So I want to come back to that.
Oh,
but
sure.
I'm curious about when you were coming up and you were honing the craft and getting as
sure.
repertoire as built up as you could, who was guiding you?
Well, I had a lot of very influential teachers. First and foremost, Leon Fleischer and Maria Curcio, Claude Frank, Abbe Turco, Ralph Vodopek, Peter Frankel. All these names might mean something to the pianist in the room, and for chamber music, Shimon Goldberg. What's interesting is that five of those were students of Arthur Schnabel. Arthur Schnabel was a very famous pianist, first to record all the Beethoven sonatas, known for his interpretations of the classical repertoire like Mozart and Schubert. But it's interesting because I come from five of my teachers, again, were part of his circle, and therefore I always joke that I was kind of brainwashed. I have a way of looking at music, but it is telling that so many of his students were great performers but insisted on teaching as well, because as he did, I think it's something in the culture of this, I'll call it a family, that teaching was important, and that's how I feel too. That's why I feel lucky to have the job that I do at MU.
When you've got a student just getting started, can you give stock advice to music students?
You gotta love it. I believe that music can be a part of everyone's life. So often I'm giving concerts around the country and people come up to me and say, you know, I studied when I was a child, but I've given it up and I just love music. I love going to concerts, but I don't know what I can do with it. I do believe that you can always come back a lifetime, and it's just enrichment for the soul. So it's something that we can always challenge ourselves with and enjoy. If you're serious about becoming a professional pianist, I think that you've got to really love it, because as we know, with the economy the way it is, with the number of pianists that are out there, you've got to like it for the right reasons. And otherwise, keep it up, but, you know, think about plan B or C, you know? I'm active both as a performer in outside venues across the country, but also within the community. One of the organizations I'm very much involved with is the Odyssey Chamber Music Series, which was started by my wife, and I'm a regular performer on that. And as well, I give a faculty solo recital every year, which usually happens in September. That's already passed. But I'm also performing several times at the School of Music, either with colleagues or actually in the spring I'm actually going to perform the sonatas and interludes of John Cage. So that's modern music.
This week on KBIA's Thinking Out Loud, we're taking a look at upcoming classical music performance in our community. We're visiting this week with pianist Peter Miyamoto. He has two new releases out on the Blue Griffin Recordings label. Earlier we heard Music of Bach from his new release, A Piano Recital. Here is a selection from Miyamoto's second new release. It's Brahms Piano Works on the Blue Griffin Recording label. This is a selection from Johannes Brahms' Variations and Fugue on a theme by Handel, the Opus 24, heard here on 91.3 FM, KBIA. You're listening to Thinking Out Loud. Thank you. This is 91.3 FM, KBIA. My name is Trevor Harris. Thanks for listening to Thinking Out Loud. My guest this week is Peter Miyamoto. He's got two new releases out on the Blue Griffin Recordings label. We heard a selection earlier from his new release, A Piano Recital, a piece from Johann Sebastian Bach. We just heard Brahms, Variations and Fugue on a Theme by Handel, an excerpt from Brahms' Opus 24. Peter Miyamoto will be performing this Friday on the Season 11 premiere of the Odyssey Chamber Music Series. The theme, Romantic Fall. There'll be Beethoven's Piano Trio, Schumann's Liederkreis Opus 24. The performers include Peter Miyamoto and wife Ayako Saruta on piano, tenor Nolly Moore, cellist Matthew Pierce, and more. That's at the First Baptist Church in Columbia, Missouri at 7 o'clock this Friday. You can find out more details on the Odyssey Chamber Music Series website. It's odysseymissouri.org. Thanks to Peter Miyamoto and my guest earlier in the program, including Paul Crabb. He's the music director of the MU Choral Union. The Choral Union will perform Giuseppe Verdi's Requiem Mass on November the 20th at Battle High School. Sponsored by the University Concert Series. Joining the Choral Union on stage are the University Singers, the University Philharmonic, and guest soloist. Again, that's November 20th. The MU Choral Union with Verdi's Requiem Mass at Battle High School. That's it for Thinking Out Loud this week on 91.3 FM, KBIA. For Darren Helwidge, I'm Trevor Harris. Thanks for listening. Have a great evening.